Okay, plant friends, this is a special episode where it's just you and me diving deep. I have been so fortunate to take a lot of deeper dives into the science of plant care since the quarantine has happened. And to be honest with you, I think it's been the brightest silver lining of the pandemic for me that I had this time and space created to invest in myself and my passion for plants in a new way through really taking some super in-depth classes that I've tracked on this podcast for you through interviewing my teachers that you've heard over the last, year and a half. Learning happened slowly. One class led to another class, led to another, which led to a textbook, which led to another textbook, which led to another book. I have to say, after taking these deep dives, after learning, my outlook on plant care and this hobby and my approach to it of keeping plants in my home, it's dramatically shifted in the last year and a half. I find myself turning away from blogs and turning towards textbooks. I have a deep appreciation for the horticulturalists on the show who provide us the knowledge that they have to help us dive deeper, to help us learn the why behind the how of all of these practices that we're told to do on care cards and on social media posts. Over 120 episode interviews now, plus all of these hours and courses, has been so enlightening for me. And plant friends, I want to be real with you about these shifts that I'm making in my personal collection and in my plant care practices, because I'm sure that with our community, if you're listening along to these episodes too, you're making those shifts as well. Like it's been since episode one, I am literally learning and growing alongside you in this beautiful passion of our collective community. And it's been the best ride of my freaking life. I know that we've barely scratched the surface in what our community can learn and grow together. And so I'm still the same planty podcaster, plant friend, BFF to all of you, still committed to asking all the questions for the least informed listener as per usual, still committed to making mistakes and always mispronouncing plant Latin, not taking myself too seriously, and creating content to help this community keep blooming and keep growing. So I'm so excited to share the 4 plant care hacks that I'm no longer using and other shifts in my plant care practices with you today on episode 124 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, I'm so excited to share this episode with you today. I feel like in my personal life, there's been a lot of shifts and changes and moves and ups and downs. And this podcast, I'm dedicated to always doing these high quality deep dive interviews for you to expand your knowledge. But I wanted to experiment with a solo episode where I share with you some big shifts and plant care lessons that I've learned that I'm doing in my community. Speaking of my personal life, if you follow me on the YouTube channel, or if you don't, you should. Billy is on the YouTube channel with me this week for a very special video on 3 planty date night ideas that we suggest for you. And we walk you through 3 different planty date night ideas. So if that interests you, go check it out. So I wanted to experiment with this solo episode format where I get real with you as I'm learning and growing alongside you and kind of share some shifts that I've been doing in my plant care practices that I'm really enjoying, some aha moments, and a lot of growth that I've been experiencing behind the scenes in regards to my plant collection. Because what I've learned with this podcast is if I'm going through it, some of you are also going through it, right? We are all kind of one beating soul together of this podcast community. So I can't wait to kind of clue you in and give you some updates. And I just wanted to share a disclaimer. By sharing these shifts and the things that I'm talking about, I'm in no means telling you to make the shifts as well. I'm just sharing with you like what's going on with me and my plant collection. We are all on our own journeys, learning our own lessons in our own time. And what's right for me might not be right for you. And what's right for you might not be right for me. And that's the kind of beauty of this whole thing, right? So I'm so excited to share with you. But also, I'd love to hear from you on Instagram, on the post for this podcast. What shifts are you making? How are you feeling, yourself grow as a plant parent? Like, I want to hear from you. Speaking of this beautiful community, welcome newest Patreon plant friends, Magda, Kim, Darby, and Amy Steele. Thank you so much for joining the community of plant friends that support Bloom and Grow Radio on a monthly basis. Okay, so there's 2 parts to this episode. The first part is 4 plant care hacks that I feel like a lot of people see on the interwebs that I have tried previously, but I'm no longer doing when it comes to my plant collection. Want to come clean with you guys, want to kind of share the shifts that I've been making. And then the second half of the episode is also just kind of an update on some other things and other shifts that I'm making in my collection, but they're not like traditional hacks. So let's begin with the hack number 1 and the kind of obsession number 1 that I'm really no longer concerned about. So, cute humidity hacks. Let's talk about this. I feel like humidity ends up being like a big answer to a lot of issues. Like if you have brown leaves, if you have crispy leaves, if your plant isn't doing well, a lot of people say, well, check your humidity. Okay, that's totally true. I mean, we had a whole 90-minute episode on humidity hacks with the Plant Daddy podcast, and it was amazing. And everything that they talked about is still so true. But something that I've realized through this winter and through taking some more like deep dive science courses is like humidity is so relative. And yes, our tropical houseplants, most of them are used to like 60 to 80% humidity, 100%. However, we don't need to have 60 to 80% humidity for our plants to thrive, right? Like people have been cultivating houseplants for years and years and decades without running crazy amounts of humidifiers. Humidifiers are a great option, but I feel like there are a lot of things on the internet kind of circling that actually might not be as helpful as we thought. And I know personally, some of these things are things that I used to do and things that I used to think worked. And just through learning more and more, have realized that they're not serving me in my collection in the way that I kind of thought. So I wanted to go through a few things that I've learned and a few things I'm no longer doing. So first off, a big thing is like everybody's everything is different, right? Like your environment is different than my environment is different than our friend's environment is all different. So everybody's humidity is also really different due to so many factors. What season you're in, how warm you keep your house, what climate you're in, whether it rained that day. I mean, for me, I know in my house in the Catskills of New York, if it rains, it could be 5 to 8% more humid in my house just on a rainy day, like for no reason, right? So it's super relative and it's super varied depending on where we are. So I have conversations with plant friends on the West Coast in Seattle. Their house is normally at 45% humidity, where I'm lucky if I ever get to like 33%, right? So everybody's humidity is different. Their glass has been awesome. I'm obsessed with hygrometers, which are little humidity measures. I did a YouTube video about them and I put them under my glass when I've been keeping some higher maintenance plants under glass as an experiment. And I put my hygrometer in there. And they're the only way that I've really been able to raise the humidity in my house. Growing under glass has been awesome. So far, so good. I have a fern that's still growing. I have my alocasia, which I almost killed. I then put under glass. It's throwing off new leaves. It's been awesome. I stick a little bit of damp sphagnum moss under the glass as well. If you do grow under glass, I highly recommend, Leslie Halleck calls it burping your plants. You know, taking the glass off of your plant, getting some air circulation in, and then putting the glass back on. Because if you just leave that glass on top of your plant with no new air circulating, mold can grow. And think about it, your plant wants like fresh, happy air, right? It doesn't want that stagnant, old, damp air. And then one of the terrariums I have actually has like a little hole in the top of the glass, which is great. So that works. Then humidifiers obviously are going to be like the best way to raise your humidity if you really do want to kind of take it to the next level with your plants. If you have hardy plants like me, you know, your plants don't need that humidity. But if you really want to like up your humidity game, and this is what we talked about in that humidity episode, but humidifiers are awesome. I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners in our community. He's a Patreon supporter who I've gotten to know a lot this year. His name's Jeff Shang. He has the most unbelievable plant collection I've ever seen in my whole life. Super rare aroid collector. He's a really interesting guy. And he is like a next level plant parent. And because he collects these really rare plants, he really does keep his home in like optimum conditions for them. And he has like several different humidifiers in each room and he has them on timers. The humidifiers go off on timers, which helps keep like a continuous stream of vapor, I guess, in his air. And he's got all sorts of like amazing practices. I should have him on the podcast to go through the art of collecting rare plants in a healthy, sustainable way. So shout out, Jeff. Thanks for your support. Personally, in my current home, humidifiers don't work for me because we have a loft. So we have a lot of open space in our house. And one humidifier would never like effectively raise the humidity of our entire house, right? We would need to have like a million humidifiers going off at once. I don't have the capacity for that. We're in a rental. And also there's rug here. So I don't want to like mess with that. So for now, I have just kind of bid my obsession with humidity adieu for a moment, and I'm sticking with my hardy houseplants. So I've set kind of my obsession with alocasia free for now because my alocasia are not loving my 30% humidity house, and I'm having to put them all under glass, the ones that I brought home. And I know that there'll maybe be another season of my life where I will be able to create an environment that works for them, right? So I would say if you're really looking to up your humidity game, the humidifier is going to be the way to do it. Growing under glass is going to be the way to do it. Two things that I'm no longer doing anymore, which I feel like you see a lot on the internet about like quote unquote humidity hacks, is misting and pebble trays. unfortunately, with pebble trays, even though a lot of people talk about them, and I will say that, like, some people swear by it and, like, live your best life. Use your pebble trays. I believe you if you swear by it, right? Like, if your plants are happy, do it. But there hasn't been a ton of science that have proven that pebble trays actually increase humidity in the home, or relatively. Also, in my life, the water just evaporates too fast because my home is so dry. So I've kind of moved away from pebble trays. I used to kind of put pebbles in all the bottoms of my saucers, but I'm not finding that I'm really using that practice that much. I'm really more just moving towards more lower humidity tolerant plants. The other thing I wanted to talk about is misting. So what I've learned in my UCLA class with Leslie and a lot of other courses I've taken is misting, number one, does not affect your humidity long term, right? The theory is you're supposed to mist your plants or mist the air around your plants, and it raises the humidity by increasing the vapor. But realistically, that evaporates real quick. So you'd have to be misting like all the time to really get that effect. And also, putting water on the leaves of your plants can actually affect them negatively. It can cause fungal issues. It's a big thing in greenhouses. Like, you don't want still water like sitting on leaves, because in nature they have like wind, you know, plants have wind and rains and dry spells where like everything evaporates, and that's not the case for our houses. So if you want to mist, because I am someone who likes to mist my plants for wellness purposes, I like, in an effort not to overwater, I might take my mister and spray my plants to feel connected with them. I've just been misting my moss poles. My moss poles are really hard to keep hydrated because my house is so dry. So I mist my moss poles of my Monstera leaves. And then Leslie has also said that because aerial roots, like on a Monstera plant or on an epiphytic plant, they're cool to be misted because they are used to kind of absorbing water through them. They're kind of designed for that. So if you're going to mist your moss pole, mist your aerial roots. But, you know, just know that it's not the best option for raising your humidity like long term in your plant collection. And for me personally, it's just like way more of a mindfulness wellness thing now than a humidity thing. So humidity, super important. I think it's a super fun thing to like dive deep on, which I definitely did this year. I love having hygrometers in my house. I have so much fun with them. But I also just like have really gotten to know that I just have like a super dry environment. And I think at this moment in my life, it makes more sense for me to just choose lower humidity tolerant plants because of my limitations. And that's okay, right? That's part of blooming and growing and learning and making your choices as a plant parent to allow joy and not stress in your life when it comes to your plant collection. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. Okay, number two is I guess it's not a plant care hack, but it's a big shift, is I'm not living and dying by plant care cards anymore. So when I started out as a plant parent, like, I lived and died by plant care cards. I remember going on the Sills website and like reading all of their plant care cards, which they're amazing, by the way. The Sills is a great resource. A lot of these plant websites have great care cards. But what I'm just really starting to understand is, man, everybody's environment is different. And so if a plant care card says, water your Hoya once a week, the Hoya in my house at 30% humidity with medium to low light, which a Hoya shouldn't even really be in, next to my friend in California who has, you know, 40 to 50% humidity in her house and bright, bright light, we're going to have to water very differently because the plant's environment is different and therefore has different care requirements. So I think that plant care cards are an amazing way to familiarize yourself with a plant, learn its Latin name, learn its general care instructions, learn where it comes from. It's amazing. But then, like, it is up to you to empower yourself and understand your lighting environment, your humidity, how this plant responds in your environment, and then kind of tailor your watering practices to that, right? It's about like becoming that super sleuth and really understanding and empowering yourself to make those decisions and not living and dying by someone else telling you how to do it or something else. And that's really what Bloom and Grow Radio is all about, right? Like, all I want is for our community to just keep learning and keep getting closer and closer to really, truly understanding our plants and understanding and being able to really intuitively care for them, no matter where you're starting in your plant parent experience, you know, level or knowledge, right? Like, I was killing plants when I started this podcast. I knew nothing and I'm still learning. And something else that I think is super interesting and is in this plant care hobby, like, man, there's always something we're going to learn. I'm going to be 80 years old. I'm going to have taken every class at the Botanical Garden, have a degree in horticulture, and I'm still going to be able to learn more and more about this hobby and about plant science. And there's always going to be a new thing that I can do to help set my plant collection up for success. And that's just the best part of this hobby. It's never going to get old if you don't want it to, right? Like, you can just keep learning. An exciting aspect of the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, which is our new community platform, is we're creating exclusive, quote unquote, plant care guides based off of our community episodes. So based off of our best performing episodes, like the Fiddly Fig episode, we've got a plant care guide that's an exclusive download for people in the community. But the entire community can comment on the guide. So the guide becomes this like living, breathing, growing plant care community resource for everyone sharing their tips and tricks, in addition to like a quick reference for the top tips from those episodes. So I think that'll be really fun. And we'll be able to see everybody's different experience with that plant through their lens of their environment. And I think grow and empower each other in that way too, which I'm super excited about. Everybody's plants are in different size pots, have different relative humidity, are potted in different mix. They're all getting different light. Therefore, everybody's watering is going to be a little tweaked, and don't live and die by that care card. Use the care card to empower yourself and then, you know, go off book, experiment and tweak until you find like your perfect watering situation. And then know that the seasons are going to change and that might shift again, right? Like, this is all ever changing, ever growing. Okay, number three. Understanding light based off of those adorable diagrams that you see everywhere on the internet. Now, I have to say, I love these illustrations of these rooms that have the basic like bright light, bright indirect light, medium light, low light, right? But I think the biggest thing that I've understood as I've grown as a plant parent is how little I actually understand about light and photosynthesis, right? Everybody's light environment is so freaking different. And yes, those are just kind of like the care card guide from the last point. Everybody's lighting environment is going to be so different. And yes, you can take those guides as a rule of thumb. And when you're a beginner, it's so helpful to be able to see that and begin to understand that, oh, right, as soon as my plant moves 2 feet from the window, we're in medium to low light territory. That's super helpful to understand. But man, I've moved 3 times in the last year and I have learned so much about light in this last year. I've had this podcast for 4 years. I've had a free download about understanding your natural light for like 2 years, and yet I'm still learning so much. So I wanted to share a story about moving to this cabin. If you've been listening to the show, you know that Billy and I moved to a cabin in the middle of the woods in January. We moved in the winter, so I knew that it was going to be relatively low light. But I had no idea how low light this cabin was, because when we came to see the cabin to decide whether or not we were going to move here, it has enormous southern facing windows, like floor to ceiling windows that are southern facing. And I thought, oh my God, I hit the jackpot. Like, so much light. This is going to be amazing. Southern windows. My plants are going to be so happy. And there are two skylights. We moved to the cabin. I brought all my plants. And I start looking around the cabin and I start tracking the sunbeams and the sunlight. And I'm noticing, man, it doesn't get very bright through our southern windows. What's going on there? And then I get a little bit more sleuthy and I realize, oh, we're in a cabin that has like a little kind of ledge. I guess they're called arbors, like blocking the southern facing windows. So my southern facing windows, because they have this like kind of arbor ledge, I don't know what it's called, but like the, you know, the pitched ceiling that like extends out, that is blocking the sun frequently. And so the sun is actually bright indirect light in those windows. So although I thought I had unobstructed southern windows because there were no trees around, the freaking roof is blocking my southern facing windows. Then I also thought, oh, great, we have two skylights. How fabulous. There's a little loft that I will make my planty writing nook, and I'm going to fill all my plants in it, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be so Instagrammable, and I can't wait to like have it be my jungle oasis. And then over the first few months, I start tracking the sunbeam that comes in through the skylight and then moves its way across my house because we're southern exposure, so it's moving from east to west. And the freaking sunbeam completely misses my plant loft. And by my eye, I assumed that the beam would be wider. And so I assumed that the beam would hit my freaking plants, and it doesn't. So I put all my plants in my very low light area of my cabin that the light totally misses. And then also the light was hitting some plants that I didn't know it was hitting. And so I was underwatering those plants because I didn't realize how much light it was getting. And I was able to kind of figure out how low light some of the corners of my house that I objectively thought was like indirect light by actually getting a PAR meter. And that's like a very fancy light meter that I learned how to use in the class that I just took with Leslie at UCLA. But I've been able to like go beyond just my eye in my house and actually measure the light volume hitting my plants over the course of 24 hours with this PAR meter. Hopefully we can bring some content in the future kind of as a super deep dive here if you're interested. So let me know if you're interested in learning about that. But anyway, all that goes to say, general light guidelines are amazing. If you haven't done the Understanding Natural Light worksheet that we have that's free, feel free to download it. It's a great resource. It's also in our community platform. But, you know, everybody's lighting environment is different. So also, I would just encourage you to, if your plants aren't doing well, if you're, you know, troubleshooting and nothing's working, but you have your plant in indirect light and medium, quote unquote, medium light, your plant actually might be in lower light than you think it is. I feel like that's a big lesson that I've learned. Your plant is usually in lower light than you think it is, unless you have it in like a southern facing windowsill. In general, you can learn so much from blogs and general guidelines. And then you have to kind of go inwards and go towards, you know, your actual environment and really start intimately understanding your plants. And this is if you want to be a next level plant parent, right? Like you can keep plants successfully without doing these things that I'm talking about. But I feel like in general, many listeners of this podcast really do want to continue growing and continue expanding as plant parents and continue kind of helping their plant collection. So just letting you know, as I am just going off the deep end in understanding plant care, it's something that's important to me. So I wanted to share it with you. All right, so that's light. And four, pots without drainage holes. Oh boy, oh boy. And, you know, I've like done interviews where I've said that, you know, a layer of pebbles in the bottom is okay in the beginning of my plant career. And I am growing as a plant parent and know that, you know, it's really not something I advise anymore. So I've done episodes on this previously, understanding drainage. It'll be linked in the show notes. If you didn't listen to the episode, it was super mind-blowing. I learned a lot about drainage and the composition of soil in the soil science class that I took, and it really changed my perspective on how I'm potting my houseplants and how important it is to actually have quick draining soil and then actually like a hole in the bottom of your pot for that quick draining soil to release the water that it doesn't need, right? So we hear like pot your plant in quick draining soil. Like everybody says that, but like it's actually super important. It's super important and super helpful to not have root rot. And when I think about my plant killer days, the biggest thing I did was not have drainage holes in my pots and like essentially drowned my plants and they all rotted out. So if you are super curious about like a lot of the details behind this, check that episode out. You can check a YouTube video out where I also explain like the perched water table and drainage and like a lot of these kind of aha moments. But I am like exclusively only potting my plants in pots with drainage holes now. And especially for beginners, I highly recommend that you only use pots with drainage holes. It's just a much easier way to manage your watering, especially if you're new and you're still trying to figure out your plants and you're still trying to figure out how to like best water your plants. I just think it's like a no-brainer and an easy way to set yourself up for success. So I'm not a huge fan of the layers of gravel or, you know, drainage, quote unquote drainage at the bottom of a cash pot, which is a pot with no drainage. And if you have like a beautiful pot that you bought that doesn't have holes in the bottom, like most of the pots that we see at like Anthropologie and CB2 and like all these fancy stores, like they haven't wised up yet. There are two things that you could do. So the thing that I mostly do is I save all the plastic nursery pots that I buy plants in and I upcycle them. So I always like if I buy a pot with no drainage hole, I'll go to my little plastic pot collection and I'll find a matching pot that slips right inside of that pot with no drainage or maybe is a little bit smaller. Then I will pot up a plant in, you know, the nursery pot, and then I will slide it inside of the pot with no drainage. And sometimes I'll actually put a layer of LECA at the bottom of the pot with no drainage, and then I'll sit that nursery pot on top of the LECA just in case like any water pools at the bottom. So then you can take the pot out, you can water the plant, let the water drip out the bottom, and then put it back. And that's been great. That's been working great for me and my plants. The other option is you can get a diamond drill bit and actually drill holes in the bottom of your pot. I haven't done that yet, but I've like watched a lot of YouTube videos of people who have done that. Apparently, it's very simple, but I haven't tried it. And all this goes to say, like, you can absolutely have healthy plants in pots with no drainage with like a layer of drainage at the bottom, especially for advanced plant parents. Like, I'm not trying to like call anyone out. Like, I don't, live your life, like do what works best for you, right? Like, don't freak out and like repot all your plants. But that's definitely just a shift that I've made that works for me. And if you're a beginner, it's something that I highly recommend just so you can really get a hold of your watering. I am someone who's prone to overwatering and then also underwatering. And I just find that when I have the holes in my drainage pots, it just helps me monitor better, right? And also, if you're a fan of bottom watering, you need a hole in the bottom of your pot in order to bottom water. And we all know that I'm a lazy plant parent sometimes, and I love to bottom water. If you go back and listen to the watering episode I did with Chris from Botanic Tonic, we have a long conversation about top watering versus bottom watering. So yeah, pots without drainage. So those are the four like plant hacks that I am moving away from that I've tried before. Yeah, I just wanted to like keep it real with you guys and like share how I'm kind of evolving as a plant lady. And I have a feeling many of you are too. And I want to hear how you're evolving. So please let me know on the Instagram post for this episode. A few other shifts that I'm making that I wanted to talk about. Number one, I have shifted most of my plants that I have in semi-hydro out of semi-hydro. And I'll tell you why. We know I love semi-hydro. I've done two episodes with Kay from Inrooted Love on semi-hydro, but I have found that in this season of my life, I'm a little too overwhelmed to be managing two different types of growing media. I really need like all my plants to be in pots with drainage holes that I can water and like that's it. And I can do one bout of watering, you know, once a week-ish for me and the plants that I have and call it a day. And for me, mixing the semi-hydro solutions with those plants combined with the 80 to 85% of my plants in soil, or maybe more like 95% of soil, what I was finding is I would water the plants that I had in soil and then I would like avoid the semi-hydro plants because I didn't have time to like mix a solution special for like just the six plants that I had in semi-hydro. So in this crazy moment of life, I've consolidated all my plants into soil. I am using LECA to root plants. So I found that LECA is the best way to root most plants that I have. So I do still use the semi-hydro method to root my plants and then I pot them in soil. And once again, I love semi-hydro. I know plenty of people who love semi-hydro. I could see myself maybe moving towards it again in the future. Like the door is not closed. It's just in this moment, I just need like easy. I need like an easy plant care routine. So I've just kind of consolidated and simplified. But I actually have like six plants rooting in LECA right now because I realized the other day I underwatered a plant terribly, several plants terribly, in misjudging the light of in my house. And the roots were like gone, shriveled up and gone. So I had to propagate the entire plant that I will then pop back up. So the cuttings of that plant are rooting right now in LECA. Thank you, Allagash Brewing Company, for sponsoring today's episode, Plant Friends. Fine Acre, the new organic Belgian-inspired golden ale from Allagash Brewing Company, is so freaking good. And I love that they are promoting organic gardening and farming with this beer because it is organic year-round. With spring waking up our dormant plants and the promise of spring and the promise of outdoor gardening and late summer nights in the air, I am so ready to enjoy a little bit of Fine Acre at the end of a long day in the garden with my plants and Billy. It is really just the tastiest, easiest beer to drink, whether you're a beer aficionado or just like someone who likes to drink beer like me. Billy is the beer aficionado and I am just the beer drinker. It's just well-balanced, crisp, delicious, and like perfect for warm weather. And since Fine Acre is all about organic gardening because it's a year-round organic beer, Allagash is running the Beer Gardening with Allagash sweepstakes, and it is so amazing, and I am participating in it. So the prize is so planty, plant friends. It's a plant consultation with me, so you're going to get to hop on a Zoom call with me and jam about your plant collection. We can do a consultation. We can talk about your plant care routine, whatever you want, or we could just hang out and drink a beer together. Whatever you want, you'll get an hour of my time. $300 to Bloomscape, which is plants delivered straight to your door. Maybe even in our plant consultation, we can come up with what plants you want to order with your gift card from Bloomscape. You get a $100 Allagash merch card, and you get a chance to direct $2,500 to a community garden nonprofit of your choice. Think about the impact that'll have on your community and spreading the planty love. So check the show notes for details on how to enter the sweepstakes and how to find Fine Acre near you. Fine Acre and other Allagash beers are for drinkers 21 and older, so plant friends, please drink responsibly. Thank you, Territorial Seed Company, for being the most fun planty partner for this growing season. So, plant friends, by now, you've probably got your spring and summer garden plans going, probably at least planned, and probably maybe even planted and growing already. I am so thankful to have my tomato seedlings in the ground. Thanks to Territorial Seed Company, I've got three different types of cherry tomatoes I'm growing. But did you know that it's not just about spring and summer for your garden, plant friends? If you time things right, you can extend your garden harvest beyond the traditional spring-summer moments. Spring gets all the hype, but depending on where you live, you can actually grow year-round or at least well into the fall. So Territorial Seed Company actually carries a special selection of vegetable and herb seeds that are perfect to start in the summer and then harvest in the fall, in the late fall, in the winter, or even over winter. These plants include brassicas, root crops, lettuce and greens, onions, and of course, their huge selection of garlic, one of the gems of the winter garden. You plant it in the fall, you harvest it the following summer. Nothing beats the spicy and pungent flavor of garlic right out of the garden, plant friends. And if you listened to last week's episode on pest management for your gardens, our guest Bree actually talks about how she plants garlic throughout her garden, not only for the delicious harvest, but she uses it as a pest deterrent. So if you're curious about this and you need high-quality, hardy seeds and plants, I highly suggest checking out my friends at Territorial Seed Company. I've loved starting their seeds for my garden this year. They've been amazing. Their packages is amazing. They're a great company. I appreciate that their whole mission is to enable gardeners to be more self-sufficient, providing everything necessary to grow bountiful and healthful, great-tasting, fresh-from-the-garden food year-round. So check out their amazing variety of seeds, plants, garden planners, and more at territorialseed.com and use the code BLOOM10 at checkout for 10% off your first order. Once again, for 10% off, that's code BLOOM10 at territorialseed.com. I've had several offline conversations with different listeners who have tried citrus after our episode on citrus, different friends who grow citrus, and I will just say, like, citrus is not for beginners. Citrus is for plant parents who are super curious, willing to lose, willing to grow, willing to fail. As we all know, my Meyer's lemon tree succumbed in 2020. We had to compost him. Limey is bouncing back tremendously, but Limey has had like a tough couple of years, but we think that we have helped Limey find a stride. But I will just say, like, having citrus is not as easy as I probably thought it was when I started caring for citrus, and just wanted to be transparent in that. And I think that maybe in the future we should do an update on citrus, you know, with the community if we have enough people growing citrus and are interested in it. So let me know if that interests you. But I'm happy to report that Limey is killing it these days. He's growing like 10 new limes. It's the first time he's grown limes in like 2 years. We're super excited. I think in part it's because I really started laying on the Espoma citrus specific fertilizer on him. I got pretty aggressive with the fertilizer compared to previous years. And I think that's made a big difference. So shout out to Limey, my OG. he's like a problem child, but Billy and I won't let go. We're hanging on and he's doing great. So anyway, and that was my note on citrus I wanted to share. Oh, and then my last note, accumulating plants quickly and focusing on plants of the moment. So I think on this podcast, you know, I'm sharing with you guys in real time how I'm feeling. I was like obsessed with alocasia and anthurium. Oh my God. At like the end of last year, the beginning of this year, when we moved here, we thought we were going to have more light. I was so excited to start growing my collection again. And I just was so fixated on alocasia, man. And I think it's because I was seeing so many of them on Instagram and getting really swept up in like the perfection that Instagram brought and feeling like my plant collection like needed to kind of mirror that. I will say, like, I am obsessed with the way alocasia look. I'm obsessed with the way anthurium look. I love that they like look like little alien heads. I will forever love them. But what I'm realizing is, you know, I moved very quickly to like get that alocasia and then it almost died in my care because I just didn't have the humidity it needed. It took me a minute to, as a plant parent, adjust to caring for that plant. And I think in general, I used to get way more fixated on plants that I would see on Instagram and kind of become obsessed and feel like I needed to have it to like keep up with the other like Instagram friends, my plant friends, you know? And I notice in this moment of my life, I'm actually paring back my collection again. And I know that I've been saying I want to grow my collection. I want to grow my collection. But in a, you know, period of overwhelm and in this period of like really wanting to dive deeper, I find that I'm paring my collection back, getting a little bit more intentional with the collection I have and kind of assessing what I want to bring into my collection in a little bit more of an intentional way and figuring that out. I think that's also because Billy and I are like vagabonds right now. We're moving again next month. We're probably going to move again in a year. So it's been hard like not being in control of my home. And so having plants obviously is intrinsically correlated with your home. So I think that's part of it as well. But I'm trying to distance myself from that Instagram scroll FOMO of comparing and trying to just keep dialing in. And like I said, like turning away from blogs and Instagram and turning towards textbooks, turning inward, like trying to kind of figure out like what plants make me happy and how I want my collection to look and how I want to move forward curating. And I super duper encourage everyone to sometimes pause and do that because I think with the overwhelm of social media that we have and all the different apps and all of the different opportunities that we have to take in content about plants, including this podcast, it's really easy to feel overwhelmed and to feel like you're left out or like you have to keep up or you have to grow incredibly quickly. And like, that's just not the case. You have to be happy. You have to use plants as a tool to be happy and to make your home beautiful and to make your home bring you joy. And that's it. That's what plants are for. Like our plants, we're always growing. As humans, as plant parents, like our collections, you know, we're growing. And I feel a lot of times we mirror our collections in a really interesting way. We're changing, we're growing, we're throwing off new growth, we're dying back, we're growing yellow leaves, we're needing to shed what doesn't serve us. And we go through different seasons of life, right? Like just like our plants. And I'm very hyper aware of that in this season of life. And so plant friends, I'm giving you permission to allow yourselves to change and grow as wildly and as weirdly as your plants do, right? So I guess this episode is more to just encourage people to like take a minute, take stock of where you are as a plant parent, take stock of what you're doing, take stock of what's serving you and what isn't, and figure out if you need a little prune, you know, in your life. Just because your collection looks a certain way right now, just because your collection is a certain number, just because a plant is behaving a certain way, it doesn't mean that it needs to stay that way. You know, it really doesn't. If 2020 and 2021 has taught us anything, it's taught us that like nothing needs to stay the same just because it used to be a certain way. And our plants and ourselves are also a part of that. For most of us, we are all entering a new growing season, literally and figuratively, as we enter spring and summer, or most of us in North America. It's a wonderful time for us to take stock of how winter dormancy has affected us. You know, dust our leaves off, clear out those old leaves, cut out what's not serving you, and make plans for new growth, or just simply allow for it to enter our lives like it does with our plants. Growth happens when it's time for growth happens. And sometimes the key is just allowing it to do its thing in its own time. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. So I am here for you, plant friends, as always, growing through these seasons with you, learning alongside you, advocating for you, asking the questions that myself, but also I think you have. I'm always open for hearing your feedback, hearing the shifts that you're going through, hearing ideas that you have for episodes. This community platform we're growing is truly so special, and it's where I'm going to be investing a lot of time into this beautiful community, figuring out how to set us up for so much success, so much more growth, so much more joy, and hopefully spreading more planty kindness around the world. I feel like that's my real mission, right? Just to help spread planty kindness and make the world a kinder and greener place. Isn't that fun? I love that. We mentioned a lot of episodes in this episode, so in case you want to go back, you can also check the show notes for links to everything in case you want to dive deeper yourself. I hope that you are, I know I've been saying this a lot lately, but I've really been feeling it and thinking it as we come into spring and the sun comes out and the days get longer. I hope you're feeling that awakening and that coming to life again in yourselves and in your plant collection, and that your plants are bringing you joy and helping you grow. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I hope that you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section and leave us a review? It would be tremendously helpful for the show, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more planty content or ways to help and support the show or engage with our community, we've got a ton of options for you. So first, there's the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It is a super fun 3-minute test that I made for you that pairs you with your plant parent personality profile, where you'll learn your planty strengths and weaknesses and get a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality, and you have to let me know what your results are on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. If you're interested in supporting Bloom and Grow Radio, consider becoming a Patreon plant friend of the show. Patreon plant friends are members of the community who support the show monetarily on a monthly basis for as little as $4 a month, and these magical humans help support the show and bring our content to as many planty eyes and ears as possible. Once you join, you'll also get the secret password to our Facebook group, which I like to call the Plantiest Corner of the Internet. We have a lot of fun over there. You can become a Patreon plant friend at patreon.com/bloomandgrowradio. And of course, you can also just join our newsletter that I like to call the Garden Club. When you join our Garden Club, you'll receive a free download of the exclusive Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print, which is so adorable. And I'll slide into your inboxes, usually only around twice a month, with plant care tips, recent episodes, and announcements. You can join at bloomandgrowradio.com/community. And for anything else, plant friends, I'm here for you. So feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or maybe even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. Thanks again for listening. It is my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the Plantiest and Kindest Corner of the Internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.